Father, we thank you that your love for us is greater and stronger than what we know and can imagine. Lord, the depth of your love, it covers our sin through faith by your grace, Lord. And we are truly grateful that we can come to you and be in your presence because you died on the cross for our sins. You rose again. You made a way where there was no way. Father, we can't deal with our own sin. We can't clean ourselves up and be good enough. And yet, Lord, you have provided a way. So, Father, as we look at what it means, what salvation means in the sense of, is eternal life eternal? Is it something that is given by you and is a good gift that is for eternity, or is it something that we lose one way or another? Lord, I just pray that there would be a peace for our people, Lord, here after the service, after we've heard from your word, after we spend the next few weeks going through what your word says about our salvation. Father, we ask that you would give us a true peace that comes from you about where we stand with you. Lord, and for those who don't know you yet, Lord, we pray that this day would be the day of salvation. That as the gospel is shared, Lord, you would speak to your people. You would speak to all of us, Lord. And for those who know about you yet but don't know you intimately and personally, Lord, yet, that today would be the day where they come to you and follow you and believe. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I was in Dubuque, Iowa, a few years ago when I was at school, maybe almost 30. And I remember where we were at Emmaus Bible College in Dubuque, Iowa. It was this building that was all one building, and everything was made with stone. And there was a certain time in my life where I was struggling with wondering about my salvation. I had heard a number of the professors there talk about being able to lose your salvation. And then I asked others, and they disagreed. And I remember doing a paper and getting a low grade because I disagreed. But it caused me to question, and it caused me to wonder. And there was one night where I was at a mass, and I was, as I was in my bed, I had fallen asleep. It was nighttime, and I woke up. And as I woke up, The wind was howling, and in Dubuque, Iowa, the wind can blow. And it was going through these stone corridors and walls, and it was making this whoo sound. It's just this high pitch hollowing sound. And I woke up, and my roommate was gone. And I remember thinking his bed looked slept in, and then I looked around, and I got this weird feeling, and I heard this sound, and I went into my next-door neighbor's room, because he was always up late, and I went in, and the room was empty. And I remember thinking, the rapture, I missed it! Here I am, I've missed it, what's going on? And I remember just that panic, and I go barging into my other friend's room, and he's there, and I remember thinking, are we both in trouble? So then I went into another, and I thought, this guy I know. And I went barging in his, and he was there. And I was like, whoo! Okay. If he's here, we're okay. But it brings up the question, and it's a question that so many times that I hear so many times, which is, can we lose our salvation? Can somebody who truly comes to faith in Jesus Christ and experiences eternal life given to them by Jesus Christ, can it be eternal life, a gift given by Jesus to us? Can it then be said by Jesus, psych, it's not really eternal life, it's eternal until, or until you sin next time, or until it's a big sin, or until you kind of go through a wave of multiple sins. I mean, is it that the old is gone and the new has come? Does that mean anything? To go from spiritual death to spiritual life and then we struggle really bad and so now we're back in spiritual death? There's scripture after scripture that talks about, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I mean, Christ is in me. And then is there something that can happen in my life where Christ says, no, I'm out of here? Does a father say to his son or daughter, you know what? You blew it too much. You are no longer mine. Now, some of us have had our earthly fathers say those things to us. But does our heavenly father? Does our heavenly father? So we're going to spend the next few weeks. And what I wanted to do was look at this, the four, six main scriptures that are the main scriptures that are used by many to bring the argument that says there is a way that you can lose your salvation. I want to just kind of hit it head on. Does that sound all right? And just really look at it and dive deep and to say, can I have assurance of my faith? Can I know where I stand? The first one we're going to be looking at today is, and I've just so appreciated being able to work with Jim Shedd and to go through this with him. And we've been talking about, we keep coming back to it, and we've been going over it. He's my mentor, and I meet with him once a week. And man, it's been a blessing. If you guys haven't had a chance to be downstairs at 9:30 for the teaching time that he leads, you're missing out. You're missing out. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. But as we're going to look at the first one here, it's from John 15, verses 1 through 8. And this is the first one that we're going to hit today. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from you, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the first contradiction, seeming contradiction, is to the security of the saved, which is just really what we're looking at in these next few weeks is, can I be secure in my salvation? But the first contradiction to that, it seemingly here, is it's up to us to maintain. Is it up to us for us to maintain our salvation? Is it up to us to stay valid and real in our relationship with God? Once I come, not just knowing about God, but once I believe, once I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm following him, and he's my Lord, is it up to me, is it up to us to keep that salvation going? And the context of this passage is crucial, I think, for the right understanding of this scripture. First, I want to look kind of at a few ideas here. The first one is it possible that a Christian could produce no fruit? Is it possible that a Christian can produce no fruit? There's some scriptures, because it's talking about fruit and all these different things. And so the question is, The first one I want to deal with is it possible? And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Guys, think about that. The old is what? So if it's gone, is it just that it's kind of over here somewhere? Or what does gone mean? Gone means vanished. Gone. Gone means gone. No more. Therefore, if anyone is in what? Christ. If they've come to true faith, they are a new creation. The old is gone. It's gone. And the new has come. As Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Who's in charge of the good works? Who? God. It's a good, safe answer. Jesus, God, you know, whenever in doubt, just yell out, Jesus. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Who began the work in us? God did. And who's carrying it on into completion? So the question is as I look at the fruit, as I look at my life, as I look at the old and the new, because we're only going to cover probably like during these next few weeks, only like 30 or 40 scriptures that talk about us being sealed in Christ, about us being saved once and for all. But there's a few scriptures that kind of ask, kind of make you wonder. And so I think it's important for us to not live in the confusion of, is God contradicting himself? And do I just stay quiet on those scriptures? I don't believe we have to do that. Jesus speaks to those in Christ as, or who may think they are, but conduct themselves according to their own ways and not by those in the Holy Spirit. And so the first area is about fruit. The second area I want to look at is this, is the context of looking a little bit deeper of that fruit, the context of how our relationship with God is manifested in our lives. So the context of John 15:1-8 is about fruit and not about salvation. It's about the fruit that we as Christians produce. It's not talking about salvation. Remember in our last series that we just ended kind of near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, save people. It was talking about the good trees and the bad trees, and good trees produce good fruit and bad trees produce bad fruit. Saved people are not bad trees. But good trees don't mean necessarily perfect trees in the flesh. But we're washed by the blood of Jesus and made into a new creation. Christians are indwelt by God's Spirit to produce good works. But it's so important for us to realize that the context of this scripture is dealing with the fruit that we produce as Christians, not salvation. We know that some of the fruit, even a good tree, might be struggling. But it's good. But it's good. And the tree is considered worthy of keeping. Guys, our newness is characterized by God's Spirit abiding in us. Did you hear that? Our goodness is not on what I achieve and what I can do and that I'm really trying hard. And, you know, I'm giving it my all and I'm really pushing through the hard times. Our goodness is not based on our own effort. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who've sinned? All. All have sinned, and not one is deserving of the mercy and grace of God. And guys, we tend to look at our lives from a very human point of view, which is we tend to compare ourselves with each other and grade on a curve. And God doesn't do that. God doesn't grade on a curve. God grades according to what he has done. And salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord is unchanging in who he is, in how he relates to us. You know, sometimes as a parent, I blow it. Because sometimes the rules I set for my children changes a little bit as time goes on. And sometimes my kids push the boundaries, and so the boundaries move a little bit. My brain understands that kind of thinking. God is not like that. I don't get to come to God and say, you know, God, that whole Bible thing, solid, good. But can we talk? Because I think I've got a better way. So if you can just budge a little here and budge a little there. I'm not talking about all, you know, change, but just a little bit. We don't get to decide what the Word of God is. We don't get to make up the rules. We aren't even the ones who bring salvation unto ourselves. It's Christ who seeks and saves the lost. It's his work. I know what it's like to go through life. When I was 14 years old, I became a believer. The response by my family when they heard I received God by my mother and my brothers was, "What? You were already a Christian." You see, I spoke Christianese. I knew how to say amen, praise God. I knew the lingo. I liked God. I liked finding out about God. I wasn't being fake, but it hadn't become personal yet. And I liked a lot of the people in the church. Now, granted, I had trouble with some. And I kept getting in trouble for smiling in my church. I got in trouble for other things too, but man, I really believe that this is an area that brings not only confusion and doubt, but that the enemy uses to bring incredible discouragement to Christians. But I also believe one more thing. And the reason I camp on this is we have to know what the gospel is. And the gospel is God's power. It's God's story. It's God's strength changing us, bringing us from death to life, that we are born again through belief in Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, preparing a place for us, and we are going to go home someday. But if I have worked into my understanding that salvation is still in some way up to me. Yes, what's Christianity about? Well, it's about Jesus. And if we try and add anything to Jesus, belief in him, and being good enough. And you got to be baptized with water. Well, to be obedient, we are baptized with water. But when we come to Jesus Christ, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Is it important to be baptized with water? Yes. It's being obedient to God. To the thief on the cross, did Jesus lie to the thief on the cross when he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? He didn't get a chance to get baptized with water. He didn't do any good works. Although we do get to hear about what the end of his life was. But boy, I tell you, right? He didn't get to go down and share the... Man. Our newness, our Christ-likeness is characterized by God's Spirit in us, living in us, being in us, doing the work. John 14, 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The Word, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he lives with you and will be in you." See, when we come to faith, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, God himself, the Trinity, in their perfect unity, in their right relationship, we have Christ, God himself, living inside of us. We are no longer the ones in charge. And Christ has come in and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And it's God who brings salvation. But there's the salvation of justification, which is God's work. And there's the salvation of sanctification, growing in Christ. And what does it say? God's work. And it's through the Holy Spirit moving in us. John 14:23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him." You see, the Holy Spirit will produce good fruit in us. But I love that. Think about that. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. Guys, we are not alone in this journey. It's not salvation, and then we try and do our best. God is with us every single step of the way. That's the beauty of the gospel, is that the weight of the carrying, all of the weight is done by him. That's the good news, guys. Because we can't carry salvation. We can't be right in standing with God. The third area I want to look at in these scriptures, John 15, 1 through 8. The words from the first two verses. "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful." The cuts off and the pruning, it's not talking about the loss of salvation, but it's talking about removing certain things from our lives, that we are continually being sanctified. We're continually becoming more and more and more like Christ. And so he's continually pruning and cutting off. And what a beautiful thing that is. Did anybody here, when you came to Christ, did you figure it all out right away? Anybody here been a Christian more than 30 years? Let's see here. Yeah. 40 years? 50 years? 50. All I know is I'm 49 years old. In February, I'll turn 50. My wife has been 39 for many years now. She's not here today, so I can say it. Don't tell her I said it. Man, you know, on that note, one of the things that I've been really, you know, you talk about a message, you bring the word, but you get to see it personally at times. And my wife is with my with my mother. Her father just died on Halloween, and he didn't know the Lord. And we're processing through that, and it's been difficult. And my mom is in home hospice right now, and she's not eating or drinking anything, and so it's a matter of time. Probably be the next day or two. But I got to spend quite a bit of time this week with my mom. And I tell you, this is a woman who, if you take the Shurak history, nobody's a believer. From my father's side, no one's a believer. My dad still doesn't know the Lord yet. But he met my mom, and so he started going to church so she'd date him. They got married. It was a hard marriage. Being unequally yoked, it was difficult. It was really hard. And my mom, for 37 years, went through a lot. And her children and all of her children and all of her grandchildren know Jesus Christ personally. I got to hold her hand, and she couldn't say many words. But I got to tell her and talk to her. And at one point, my two brothers and I got to sit with her, all three of us together, and just pray a prayer of being thankful for her commitment to the Lord, for her persevering, for her walking through. And guys, when we come to true faith in Christ Jesus, and the old is gone and the new is come, there's something that happens where it's not, what can I get away with? How far towards the line can I get? But it's, oh God, thank you. And when we struggle, it's not that we struggle and say, well, it's when we struggle, it's, Father, we come to our senses eventually and we, Father, forgive me. Our conscience is hurting because we're sinning, because the Holy Spirit, God himself, is in us. Do you want to know, have if you're struggling with your sin and you're like asking the questions, can I really be saved and struggle with this sin? You know what? The struggle is a sign that the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen. You see, the enemy wants to come in and bring not only the sin, but then destroy you for days and weeks and years with the guilt and the shame. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's a little condemnation for those who increase. There is no condemnation. What is condemnation? Judgment. There is feeling bad for our sin, but there is no judgment for who? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Whew. Guys, so why would the enemy push so hard with the message of it's up to you, it's, and look how bad you are. You know, put the weight of salvation on our shoulders and then say to us, look at your life, look at your sin. You're not a believer, that's a joke. Are you kidding me? And the guilt and the shame gets piled on. Why? How ineffective and unfruitful are we when we're just riding in our guilt and shame? We feel useless, so we become what we focus on. And the enemy's great power is in the lie. And we start living as though the lie is true. But it's for freedom that Christ set us free. Be free indeed. We're called to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we're going to be without sin. It means there's no sin that has to come into our lives that's greater than the ability that we have to experience victory in Christ. But the flesh is weak. Just like Paul, we find ourselves saying, I don't do the things I know I should do, and I do the things I know I shouldn't. What a wretched man am I. If Paul, I'll never forget, I was dealing with this issue in Uganda with some students that I was teaching. And we had just gone over being saved and what it means to be saved and that you can't lose your salvation. And I said to the class, I said, okay, now guys, if the Apostle Paul struggled with a really big sin right before he died, I want you to stand on this side of the room if you think he's going to heaven, on this side if you think he's going to hell. And right after I had done this wonderful teaching, almost the whole class goes over to where he's going to be in hell. I thought, we need to cover this again. And again. And the reality is we need to keep covering it again because the scriptures keep covering it again. And we've got an enemy who's very good at what he does. He's a schemer. And he takes the truth and twists it just enough to be a lie. So it looks really close. and brings the spirituality still in and the religion still in full effect, but faith and relationship and intimacy with God out. Fourth thing I want to talk about is a branch bearing no fruit must be dead. Without the life given by the Holy Spirit, and thus must be cut off and thrown into the fire and burned. Guys, as it talks about these scriptures, it can't be talking about Christians who have lost their salvation, because all the scriptures, all the promises of God about who he is and what he's done, those become a lie. Those become completely contradicting that false understanding of my salvation is on my shoulders. These also cannot be Christians who will lose rewards, because the passage here refers to dead branches, not those alive in Christ. And so these must be those who profess Christ with their mouths, but they don't know Jesus in their hearts. They don't. And I was there for a number of years. I knew about God. I enjoyed God. I enjoyed learning about God, but I hadn't given my life to him. I didn't believe that Jesus was my Lord and Savior. But I liked learning about God. I liked rubbing shoulders with Christians. I was a cultural Christian. If you ask most Americans, now it's getting less statistically as time goes on, but if you ask most Americans, are you Christian? Most will say, yeah, I'm an American. I'm Christian. Do you go to church? Well, yeah, at least twice a year. Sometimes twice a year. Well, I used to go twice a year. You know, Christmas and what was that other one? Oh, yeah, Easter. Yeah, twice a year, I think was it Christmas? Was it Easter? Yeah, I think those are it. Sure. A Christian's salvation is assured by Christ's faithfulness, not our own. It's not based on us. If we are not producing fruit as desired by God, we can expect to be pruned, guys. And pruning is a little painful. What happens when you prune a tree? It's painful. You lose some branches. What happens to the fruit of the next season? It's amazing. We had some apple trees, two great apple trees. And I did a test one year when we lived on Vashon Island. And I did a test one year because I got tired after I finished pruning the first tree. So I decided to make it into a test. And so I got to say to my honey, hey, let's be spiritual. I'm exhausted. And so it was these two big trees, and I pruned the one, and the one that I pruned produced an incredible amount of fruit. And the one that I didn't produced a little bit of fruit. But it was amazing to see the difference. I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. God loves us. He loves his people. We can expect pruning. We can expect to be pruned because of his love. Guys, I want to encourage you with this. This is a scripture, and this is one of the big four or six that are used to say that we're going to hit some others, and some of them are, man, they're challenging. But I really feel it's so important for us to know that our strength, our foundation, like we ended the last series with, the foundation that we build on, and that's the reason we're going here now, is because it talked about the foundation and to build on the right foundation, not the foundation of sand from from the Sermon on the Mount. But the foundation of the rock, and the rock is Christ. And Him crucified and resurrected. And so when we build on the work of God's work, not man's work, God's work and, you know, me earning it too, or at least being better than Him and maybe her. When we get those ideas out and we understand that, man, number one, what happens? The thankful heart. We realize, look at what God's done for even me. And I'm unworthy of His love and grace and mercy. It brings, guys, humility to us. And when there's a humility to us, we're more teachable. When there's a humility, we're able to love deeper because we understand how much God has forgiven us. Then for my father who did those things, I can forgive him. For my mother, I can forgive her. For that friend who became an enemy, I can forgive him and he can become a friend again. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But from my side, we can be in right relationship. Is it that humility that comes from understanding that it's God who does the lifting? And that's good news. And here's what I truly believe, and that's the gospel. That's the right foundation, which is the gospel. And if we get away from that, we get away from what the true gospel is. Because we make it about what we do. And the gospel is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about the history, His story, God's plan for all of time. And when we receive that and live in that truth continually, now the enemy hits us with the lie of, see, you blew it again. Yes, I blew it again. I need Jesus more than ever. Guys, I want to end with this. And this is, when I was at Bible college, I remember having a professor say, you don't teach the message that I just taught because it gives people a license to sin. And that is the complete lie. That is the complete opposite of the gospel. The gospel says, wow, look at what God did. It brings humility. It brings us, I need God so much. How do I step forward in faith without His work? I don't. And so the truth of the gospel doesn't take away. It doesn't give license to sin. It gives an ability to see the truth of, look at what God did for me, even me. And He loves me, and I get to love Him back in obedience. I get to experience His goodness in obedience. Guys, my hope and prayer is that for those of you who are believers, that through these next few weeks, that there is a security that you have in your faith, in your relationship with God, that's based on Him and what He has done. And guys, I really believe this is foundational to the gospel. And that's why I want to hit it right after the Sermon on the Mount. Is because it's so foundational to what the gospel is. And we need to be careful because there's a lot of things that are coming in the teaching that are threatening the gospel, and we need to protect it. It's God's word, and we need to hold it up. And I want, for those of you who don't know Jesus yet, guys, it's not enough to know about God. It's not enough to speak Christianese. It's not enough to come to church every Sunday and go to Bible study every Tuesday or Wednesday if you're a man or woman. It's not enough to get really involved and connected and do the right things and say the right things. That's not enough. And that's empty religion outside of faith in Jesus Christ. But when we come to faith in Jesus, now it's not my work. Now I get to enjoy the God Himself, the creator of all. And I get to know Him intimately and personally. Where do you stand? I want to say a prayer here. And if there's anyone who is feeling like God is saying, today's the day. Today's the day. You've been learning about me. Now know me and be known. Let's pray. And if you don't know Jesus personally in faith, I just pray that you would pray this prayer with me. Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for your love for me. I thank you for your love, for your willingness to meet me where I need to be met. God, forgive me for my sin. Thank you that you forgive sin, that you have conquered it, that you died on the cross and you rose again and you conquered death and sin. And Lord, that you've gone and prepared a place for me to know you and spend eternity with you. Father, I choose to follow you. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died and rose from the grave. I believe he loves me. Lord, thank you that you do love me. I choose to follow you. I give you my life. I don't know what all that means, but you're in charge. I'm not. I love you back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.